Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. I want to read two scriptures here. And speaking about the Christmas story, the Bible says this in Matthew 1, 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And of course, if you've been here over the last month, we've been in a series called Emmanuel. And of course, that name Emmanuel means God with us. And we learned this about Jesus, that Emmanuel was the descriptive name that God wanted us to know about our Savior. Our Savior's human name was Jesus. Jesus was a very common name back in the day. Christ was his title. So he was Jesus Christ, but his descriptive name was Emmanuel. No one ever called Jesus Emmanuel. It was the descriptive name that God wanted us to know about our Savior. God wanted us to know this, that look, you're going to have a Savior. God is a great gift giver. He gave us the greatest gift that we could ever have. He gave us salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And God wanted us to know, that's why he says it right off the bat in Matthew, God wanted us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was going to be a God who was going to be with us no matter what. He is God with us. And my goal for tonight is I want everyone at all of our locations attending this service, I want you to walk out of this Christmas Eve service knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is truly with you. Not just something that you're acknowledging in your head, but something that you're experiencing as you leave this place. Come on, how many of you believe that tonight, that God is going to be with you? So let's look at the next verse there, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Now here's the last book of the New Testament. Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Now Alpha, that is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. Those are not just fraternities and sororities. Those are actually letters in the Greek alphabet. And Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, he's saying, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last and everything in between. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. But now look what he says. He says, the Lord God who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Who is, who was, and who is to come. So think about this. Kind of the first thing that God wants us to know about our Savior, that he's God who's with us. And then kind of the last thing that God wants to remember, wants us to remember, is what Jesus says here in the book of Revelations, that he is the God who is, was, and who is to come. So I think if we put those two scriptures together, we will understand a powerful dynamic that is in our relationship with God and how we relate to our Savior. So he's the God who's with us. He's Emmanuel, but he's also the God who is, who was, and who is to come. So let's put those together, and here's what it says. God is, God was, and God will be with me. God is, God was, and God always will be with me and with you. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. But he's not just with us right now. He's always been with us. He is with us right now in the present, and he will be with us in the future. How many of you believe that? And how many? I want you to walk out of here knowing that. So let's say this right now. Let's say this. Just repeat after me. Say, God is, God was, and God will be. And this is the most important part, with me. God is with me. God was with me. And God will be with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray with everything in me, God, that every person, as we conclude these incredible Christmas services, Lord, that you give all of us the revelation that you are truly the God who is, who was, and who will be always with us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. All right, so turn to somebody around you and say, God is with you. Come on, right now. God is. So now turn to the person that you were trying to avoid, you know, your second choice. Turn to your second choice right now and tell them, God was with you. Like, I don't know if he still is, but he was. Maybe one time he was with you. Come on, turn to him, tell him God was. God was with you. Oh, yes, he was. And then find one more person. I mean, the person that you really thought you would hope you weren't going to have to talk to tonight. Just tell them, God will be with you. God will be. Don't you hate it when preachers do this stuff? Don't you hate it when preachers do this stuff? I'm telling you, man, look, I go to church too, like Carrie and I, we're on vacation or traveling somewhere or something like that. Sometimes we'll go to church and the pastor will be like, you know, tell your neighbor, you know, whatever. And I'm just like, golly, man, I don't know this person. I don't want to talk to this person. Just leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? So cheesy. But hey, it's Christmas, right? Holiday cheer, good tidings to all. So come on, I'm trying to get you in the Christmas Eve spirit. Get you talking to some people, being nice to some strangers. So just deal with it. How many of you have done some shopping over the last couple of days? Been shopping. Hopefully you've gotten all your shopping done, because I'm telling you, if you go out right now, there is violence in the streets. Do not go shopping right now. How many of you would consider yourself like you're a good gift giver? And what I mean by that, like you really put thought into the gift. You really want to get something, the right gift. You'll think about maybe what this person said they liked months ago. And you're a good gift giver. You put some thought into it. Let me see the number. Look at all that. See, I knew there was going to be something special about this 7 p.m. service. Look at all the good gift givers. Here's the deal. Every family needs at least one good gift giver. Okay, or Christmas morning could be in peril. You need at least one. How many of you are more like me, I would say, and you're just kind of, give me my list, give me my task, let me get the job done as quickly as I can. Don't make me think about it. Don't play games with me. Don't leave hints with me. Just tell me what you want. How many of you are like that? See? I tell you, I was real tempted. Because I'm just like, get out of the way as quick as I was tempted this Christmas. Oh, Walgreens had this commercial. I don't know if it's true or not. They had this commercial. They were saying you could do all your Christmas shopping there. Just go to Walgreens. I mean, the drugstore, Walgreens. You know what I'm saying? Like, get your vitamins, get Pepto-Bismol, and do all your Christmas shopping, right? Well, I mean, it's like, here's stocking stuffers. Here's the stuff for the kids. Here's the stuff for the wife. Here's all this. Just do your Christmas shopping. 15 minutes, Walgreens. There's one right by my house. I almost went there. But how many of you know I would have gotten in a lot of trouble? Dad, I found out I did all my Christmas shopping at Walgreens. You know, it's real interesting. Carrie and I, when we were dating, we were good gift givers. We'd give it a lot of thought, and I would really try to get her the right gift, and she would do the same with me. But something happened when we got married. And it's like we got married, and we just kind of lost some of that, you know, really putting the thought behind the gift. And then we got our first little house, and it was kind of like, okay, we're in this house now, so I was kind of in this mindset, you know, we're in this house, like the house needs stuff, so, you know, I get something for the house, it's just as good as getting something for her, right? Sadly, that information could have helped me many Christmases ago, but we kind of got into this thing where our gift giving just went south for a while. And I remember, I think it was the first Christmas in our little house we moved in, and I didn't know. Carrie was like, what do you want for Christmas? I was like, I don't know. And, you know, besides the usual things I always want, which are guns, knives, and camouflage. Am I right, guys? You want to know what I got for this Christmas? I'll tell you what I got, because I bought it for myself and wrapped it for me and put it from the family. I got more camo. All right? So, well, don't you already have a lot of camo? Yes, I do. But a man cannot have too much camouflage. Do I have some men in the house? And ladies, I'm sorry. So anyway, so she got me this present. It was wrapped real, real nice. I was real, real excited about it. And I was like, wow, man, this looks nice. It's gonna be a good Christmas present. So Christmas morning, I opened it up and I pulled it out, and it was like these slippers. So I did what any good husband does on Christmas morning. Lots of times, you just fake it. You act like you like it. Come on, husbands. Come on, dads. Some of you are going to have to fake some like you like it tomorrow morning. Well, thanks, honey. It's just what I wanted, a belt. Thanks. I'm helping you out, ladies. Camo Academy is open till 11. But anyway. So I was slippers, and I'm like, oh, great, thanks, honey, you know, slippers. And then I was kind of taking them out, looking at them, and I noticed, like, they weren't pink But they were like peach. Like a peach, and I'm taking them out, and I'm like, man, these are kind of fluffy. These are like peach fluffy, and so I'm like, oh, thanks, honey. So, you know, so I'm putting them on, and I notice they're like long enough, but they're like squeezing my foot like they won't fit. And I'm like, man, something's up with these slippers. So I pull them off. Sure enough, I look at the tag. They're women's slippers. She got me women's slippers for Christmas. It was the worst Christmas gift I've ever gotten in my life. Now, her story to this day is they were in the men's department. But all I'm saying is this, listen, I don't care what department in there that they're in, if they are peach and they are fluffy. And then the next Christmas, she got me, I thought, you know, okay, she's going to give me a better gift this next Christmas. We laughed about it. Next Christmas, she got me tennis rackets. Three tennis rackets. Three. Now, here's the thing. I don't play tennis. I mean, I don't play tennis at all. I played like one time when I was 12 years old. And she didn't get me like one nice tennis racket, like, hey, maybe you'd like to take up tennis. It was just like, no, here's like three rackets, like, to swat things with. I still don't know. I was like, what are these for? She was like. And then the next Christmas, she did do better the next Christmas. The next Christmas, this is a true story. Next Christmas, she got me a camping stove. Now, I will admit, there's some thought behind there. Camping, outdoors, all that kind of stuff. Except, I don't camp, I don't cook, and I'm definitely not good around stoves. Now, I'm telling you this, and Carrie said I could tell you this, only if I told you the whole story of the other side of this story these first few Christmases. And the other side is, just what, you know, I wasn't the best gift giver during these years. Like I said, we moved into a new house, and so I thought, you know, a gift for the house is a gift for Carrie, and what we really needed was a garbage can. We needed a brand new garbage can. Look, the women are just giving me the eye right now, just like, oh, you wouldn't. I did. I gave her a garbage can for Christmas. Can you believe that? I would have felt bad about it if it wasn't for those pink fluffy slippers and tennis rackets. But I just thought, you know, we need it for the house. And then the next year, I gave her a pot. Not like a Williams Sonoma pot, like just like a pot. Like I was walking in the store, I saw like this big black pot. I thought, man, it looks like you could cook something up in that. It was so funny. Last night between services, I had a staff member come in the green room. He's like, man, I'm so glad you told me that story because I got my wife a pot for Christmas. I'm taking it back now. See, listen, guys, I'm trying to help you out because tomorrow morning, no matter what your wife opens up under the tree that's from you, if she doesn't like it, you can say, well, honey, at least it's not a garbage can. Like Pastor Stoll. See, that's how we help here at Celebration Church. We just lower the bar. We lower the bar. We get those expectations so low that anything on Christmas morning above a garbage can is going to look like a great gift. But, you know, eventually we came out of it. Now Carrie gives me great gifts. I'm not, like I said, I kind of buy my own gifts now and just put them, this is from you, really like this. But, you know, whether you're a good gift giver, whether you're kind of struggling in that area like Carrie and I used to struggle, you know what, our Heavenly Father, He is the greatest gift giver. And He's given us the greatest gift that has ever been given. He gave us what we needed the most. He gave us Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this Christmas, that's good. You can clap right there. That's good. You can clap. And this Christmas, you know, there's a lot of things maybe you're hoping that you get. Maybe there's a lot of things that you think that you need, even kind of looking out to the new year. But really, the only thing that you need is the presence of Jesus and experiencing and knowing that God is with you. If you have Jesus, you have all that you need. He's with you. So I want to look at those three things really quick. Three things really quick. The first thing is that God is with you. So let's all say this together. Say not with you, but let's talk it in the first person here. Say, God is with me. God's presence in the present tense. And I want to read a scripture here about when Mary experienced this. And of course, this is once again a passage of the Christmas story, this time in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. There we say, okay, God is with you, Mary. It's Emmanuel. He is with you. He's not just watching over you. He is with you. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So I want you to just try to picture this scene. Try to put yourself at this scene. Okay, first of all, Mary is 16 years old. She's 16 years old. All of a sudden, an angel shows up. We don't really know what that looks like. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, come on. An angel from heaven like shows up. I'm sure he's like, you know, shows up like big like heavenly lightning, you know, like the glory of the Lord. He's like, Mary, God is with you. The favor of God is on you. You're going to give birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. How many of you know that's a heavy thing? I mean, can you imagine? Here's a little 16-year-old. This angel shows up, God's with you, favor of God, you're going to give birth to the Savior. Like, what do you think she, how did she react? Like, what did she, was she just like, like, you know, was she like excited like that? Was she like kind of freaked out? Was she, I'm sure it was kind of all of the above, but I want you to think, what do you think Mary thought initially when that kind of settled in? God's with you, you have the favor of God, you're going to carry the Son of God, the Savior of the world you're going to give birth to? I bet you Mary thought, this is going to be incredible. I mean, I'm having God's, I bet you this is going to be the smoothest delivery ever. I'm going to get some kind of heavenly epidural. I mean, come on, I'm having the Savior of the world. I'm having God clothed in human flesh. I bet you God's going to hook me up with some kind of heavenly epidural. I'm just going to float in heavenly bliss. Jesus is just going to kind of come on out. I bet you God's going to put me up at some 5-star nice hospital in Jerusalem with foot massages, everything else. You know what I'm saying? The angels are going to come down. Everybody's going to sing. Jesus is going to come on out. People are going to come in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then she's going to watch her King, Savior, Lord grow up. Remember, she didn't have any idea. She's going to watch her King, Savior, Son grow up and walk around in His robe and His crown and rule people with His ruler, scepter. What are those, you know, what the ruling people use, those big sticks. And she was going to be wild. She was going to be Jesus' mom. Just think how popular she'd be. She'd be on all the A-list. She'd be invited to all the parties. And everybody would just love her. And she'd just follow Jesus. But it wasn't like that, was it? Little did Mary know, just even right after this, that she's about to, or people are about to think that she must have gotten pregnant out of wedlock. Her own husband was going to put her away. Until the angel spoke to him. Little did Mary know that she wasn't going to be going to any 5-star hospital in Jerusalem getting foot massages. But she was going to have a birth like any other woman back in that day. With no epidural. Very painful. It wasn't going to be in a nice place in Jerusalem. It was going to be in a stinky barn with animals. Little did she know that she would be on the run for the first 2 years of her life. As an edict. Because the ruler there was threatened by the prophecy of the birth of the Messiah, and an edict was given to kill all the Jewish babies, male babies, 2 years old and under, one of the most terrible times in all of Jewish history. Little did she know that, yes, she would watch Jesus grow up, but for the most part, she would watch Him be misunderstood. She'd watch Him be rejected. And finally, she would watch her own son die a brutal death on the cross at the very young age of 33. Yet God told Mary, He was with her, and that she's highly favored. And this is what I want to say about God being with you and the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas, God being with you, is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus. The message of Christmas is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of Jesus in your current trouble and in your current trials. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? And some of you are in here tonight and you're like, Stovall, you don't know what I'm dealing with, man. I got all kind of stuff. Some of you, this Christmas is very painful. For some of you, this is your first Christmas as a divorced person. For some of you, this is your first Christmas. And maybe you lost a loved one this past year. Maybe there's going to be an empty seat at your Christmas table that used to be full. For some of you, you've had a real choice. Maybe some of you declared bankruptcy this year. Some of you experienced abuse this year. Some of you, there's terrible relational friction in your family right now. And this is a very difficult time. And you feel like that there are troubles all around. Can I tell you this? God is with you in your trouble. And the presence of Jesus can get you through any challenge that you face. And here's what Jesus said. So the message of Christmas, you know, that's what happens at Christmas. You know, it's all the religiosity and we have all these scenes of, you know, Mary and Santa and Rudolph and the baby Jesus and, you know, everything. And that's what, you know, it all gets me, you know, with these movies. You know, what's the meaning of Christmas? Well, it's love. Let's love one another. Let's be at peace. Listen, there will be no peace until Jesus comes back. I'm just saying. Let's let all our problems go away and hold hands. Oh, I like this one. No, it's having faith. Faith in what? If you don't have your faith in Christ, whatever you put your faith in, you're going to be big time disappointed. Jesus said this. He said, look, in this world, He gives us a promise. In this world, you will have trouble. How about that for a New Year's promise? You will have trouble. What if next week you're counting down the ball? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yes, 2012's here. Yes, we're gonna have trouble. Woo! This year could be brutal. Another year of pain and heartache. Aren't you glad though that that promise doesn't stop there? Because Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But then He says, but in Me, you will have peace. And here's what you need to know about God being with you. Listen, when you have the presence of Jesus, you realize that your true home is not in this world anyway. It's in eternity with God in heaven. You realize this. Your life here on earth, it's a vapor. You're here 1 second and then you're gone. You realize that Jesus gives you a peace and a joy that the troubles of this world cannot take away. Yes, Mary went through some troubles, but I'm telling you, Mary would tell you today that she lived the most fulfilled, joyful, blessed life of any person. And God wants to pour out His blessings on your life. He wants you to have an inward joy that the world can't take away. But that only comes when you walk in the reality that God is with you. And that brings me to the second thing. God is not only with you right now, but you know what? God's always been with you. God was with you. His presence in your past. Listen, some of you would not be here tonight if God had not been with you. Some of you, it is a miracle that you were in here alive and breathing. You're crazy! Listen, the very fact that you are here, that you are breathing, it is proof that God has been with you all of your life. And here's what I'm saying. I know some of you are here because you want to be here. Some of you are here because you were kind of like bribed to come to church. Like, hey, let's just stop by a church on our way to Christmas Eve dinner. And I'll buy a Christmas Eve dinner. Some of you are like, man, I didn't even get that part of it. They didn't even tell me they were going to pay for my dinner. Can I get that now? You know, just... Some of you don't want to be here at all. And that's cool. It's like, you know, this is you got to do your religious obligation deal on Christmas and Easter and, you know, show up, you know, make mom happy, grandmom happy, whatever like that. And that's fine if you're there, and that's fine how if you feel that way. I'm just glad you're here. But I will tell you this. You're not here by accident. And God has been with you all of your life. The Bible says that He knew you. He formed you in the womb. That all of your days are written in a book, marked out for Him. And He has been with you all of your life. You are here by divine appointment. And God's hope tonight is, and my hope tonight for you, is that you realize that God's with you. He was with you. And the question isn't, is God with you? The question is, are you with God? God's always been with you. See, God's always been with me, but I haven't always been with God. I can remember back, you know, I used to, many of you know my story. I mean, man, I was real into cocaine and drugs and getting wasted. I worked at a club, a nightclub. But thank God I gave my life to Jesus and I quit that just a couple of weeks ago. Some of you are like, all right, now I'm connecting the dots. Now this whole thing is making sense. Long time ago, about 20 years ago. And I'll never forget how God used to deal with me. Even I didn't want God. See, God was with me, but I wasn't with Him. I didn't want God interfering in my life. I was getting high and wasted and in the party scene and all that kind of stuff. And I realized after I surrendered my life to Jesus, God reminded me of these moments. And I remember one time, it was like 3 a.m. and I was all wasted. And I was walking in the club and somehow I was just kind of by myself. And I remember just God dealing with me, drawing me to Him. The best way I can describe it is, it's like I knew that God would accept me. The Holy Spirit never said, Stovall, stop doing drugs. Stovall, stop getting wasted. Stovall, stop this. Stovall, you're wicked. Stovall, you're a sinner. Even though I was all those things. All I felt from God was His love and the Holy Spirit saying, Stovall, you need Jesus. Stovall, you need Jesus. I'll accept you. You need Jesus. See, God was always with me, but I wasn't always with God. And thank God, finally, one day I was in a moment, it was like a moment where God intervened in my life again. Thank God that the Lord is patient, long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And I came, bowed my knees and I repented and I gave my life to Jesus. I said, Lord, thank you for being with me, but now I'm going to be with you. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? I remember just a couple of years ago, I had my open heart surgery. And, you know, I was 40 years old. I just turned 40. I know some of you are shocked. You're thinking, man, aren't you like 33, 35? You look so good. And, but I just turned 40. And I was in great shape, running. I felt great. All my physicals were, I mean, look at me. I'm a specimen. I mean, look at this. I felt great. I'm in shape. So, but I just felt led. I was like, you know, I just turned 40. Maybe I need to go do one of these fancy physicals, these kind of high-level physicals, put me through the body scan and all that kind of stuff. And so I go in, I take this physical, and the doctors come out and they say, Stovall, always know this. When you go to take a physical and not one but three doctors come to give you your results, just brace yourself. And they said, Stovall, you have an enlarged aortic root, extremely enlarged. It could rupture at any moment. You need open heart surgery immediately. And I'll never forget what one of the doctors said. She said, Stovall, she says, this is congenital. You've had it all of your life. Unless you would have had this very specific exam, it would have continued to go undetected. She said, you've had this all your life. You've been at risk all of your life. You could have dropped dead at any moment. She said, I want you to think about your life. It's like you were blindfolded. It's like you've been blindfolded and you've been running around on a busy interstate all your life. It is just a miracle you haven't been hit. And I thought about all those years when I didn't serve God and doing drugs and all that craziness and all that time, God still being with me, still protecting me. And the Holy Spirit quickened to me a scripture out of Proverbs chapter 2. It says, the Lord preserves the way of the saints, Listen, God has always been with you. He's preserved you to this point. But now it's your time to say, God, I'm no longer going on my life without being with you. Yes, Lord, you're with me, but I want to be with you. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? And the final thing is, God is with you, God was with you, and God will be with you. He will be with you. He will be there in your future. And I specifically want to say this to you believers. Some of you are worried about 2012 and the future. Listen, God's already there. He's already got it worked out. He's already planned all things to work for good for those of you who love Him and are called according to your purpose. You just trust Him and know that God is going to come through for you. Come on, can you give Him a hand? However, some of you, you know you're not with God. God is with you, but you're not with God. And I want to close with reading these final two scriptures. The first one out of Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Once again, a picture of the birth of Christ, the Christmas message. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news. And I have good news for you tonight. Good news of great joy. I'm here to tell you that if you receive the good news, the gospel, there's a great joy that you can have that the troubles of this life cannot take away.'" Goes on to say, "Great joy that will be for all the people." It's for everyone. He says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So here's what God's saying. This is good news. This is for everyone. He's saying, but now He comes down. He says, "Listen, this is for you. For you," just think of fill in your name, fill in the blank. He says, "For you, a Savior has been born." See, God knew we didn't need more riches, fame, fortune, popularity, slippers, tennis rackets. He knew what we really needed. And God gave us the very best gift that we could have. He gave us salvation through Jesus. He said, "Today for you, a Savior is born." Listen, God cannot do any better than Jesus. He's given you His Son. He's given you His very best, all-powerful, all-knowing gift-giver. Gave you the very best gift. God can't do any better than His Son Jesus. He gave you the very best, and He wanted to know it's for you. Unto you, a Savior has been born. What you need is salvation. Well, Stovall, man, I don't want to be religious and all that stuff. Listen, Jesus didn't come to make you religious. He came to make you whole. Salvation means wholeness. In fact, the people that Jesus got into the most confrontation with were the religious people. Half the stuff that goes on is just religion, man. And God's not into any of that. Let me tell you what God's into. God is into you and you knowing that He's with you. God is into you having a relationship with Jesus. God is into you being saved, being whole, being forgiven, being healed, being set free and having eternal life. That's what He's into. So some of you have a decision to make tonight. Now I'll close with this last scripture. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew. Jesus says, Matthew 10:32, He says, "Whoever acknowledges Me before men, I will also acknowledge him before My Father in heaven. But whoever disowns Me before men, I will also disown him before My Father in heaven." What Jesus is saying is eventually, He's saying, "I'm with you, but eventually you're going to have to choose if you want to be with Me. Are you going to disown the best God could give you in Jesus? Are you going to say yes and receive that gift tonight? Are you with God?" It's your choice. And this weekend we've had about 800 people realize that, you know, I'm not with God, but I'm going to choose God. We've had 800 people say yes to Jesus Christ so far in our Christmas Eve services. And that's going to happen to some of you, perhaps many of you, right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. At all of our locations, I want to ask this question right now. If you'd say, "Stovall, I'm away from God, And I realize today, yes, that God is with me, that God loves me, but I haven't been with God. I've been pushing God away, and I don't want to disown Jesus. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to receive Him. He's my Savior. God gave Him to me, and I want to receive that salvation. I want to receive forgiveness, eternal life, and be made whole. If that's you, I want you to raise a hand right now. Raise it up. Hands are going up all over the place. Raise them high right now. Hands are up all over the place. Raise your hand at all of our locations, annexes, even many of you online. Raise that hand right now saying, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm surrendering my life. I'm recommitting my life to Him. I've been away from God. I don't want to disown Jesus any longer. He's with me, and now I want to be with Him. I want to be saved. Raise that hand really high one more time. Hands up all over the place. You can put them down. Now here's what we're going to do. I want you to look up here right now. On the count of three, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to stand up in front of all of these people here. Because if you can't make a stand for Jesus in church, you're surely not going to make a stand for Him out in the world. I'll never forget, you know, I received Jesus praying on my own in my apartment room, dorm room back in college. But I'll never forget when I went to a church service shortly after that. And the pastor said, you know, if you need to receive Jesus, stay. It wasn't just to say, it was stand up and walk down, not just stand up. But I just knew, man, I felt like nervous, my chest pounding, but I knew like God was like, Stovall, you have to do this. You have to make a public declaration that you want to be with me. And I'll never forget when I stood up and I walked down and everybody was clapping. It was like, man, something broke, something freed up in me, and like I experienced God with me, Emmanuel. Like I could feel the presence of God. I could feel God smiling. His face shining on me. And that's what's going to happen to many of you tonight. He loves you. He wants to smile on you. But you need to stand up and say yes to Him.